It is time for the Rowdies Rundown and World Soccer Report with Buster DeLay as we go over all of what's happening in the world of soccer. And here is your host, Buster DeLay.
Hello, everybody. My name is Buster DeLay, and welcome to another edition of the World Soccer Report. I sure am glad that you are tuning in today because we've got a packed show ahead of us. So let's dive right in and begin with Transfer Time, a brief segment where I describe all of the hot topic transfers that have occurred, are about to occur, or that may occur. Let's start with Romelu Lukaku. The 28-year-old Belgian striker is joining his former club Chelsea after a few brilliant seasons at Italian club Inter Milan. His transfer deal is approximately $135 million, which, when combined with all of his other transfers in his career, makes him the most expensive soccer player in the world. Tammy Abraham is joining Roma from Chelsea to make way for Romelu. The tall and fast English number 9 has broke through in the Premier League in the past few seasons with Chelsea. He is 23 years old and has reportedly signed for £44 million to Italian club Roma. Rafael Varane is confirmed to join Manchester United after a bit of time waiting. His deal from Real Madrid is about £41 million. The 28-year-old French centre-back was seen training and smiling with his new teammates. Edin Dzeko is joining Inter from Roma to fill in for Lukaku's boots. The 35-year-old Bosnian striker was seen playing and scoring in a friendly before his free transfer was even announced. Yannick Vestergaard is joining Leicester City from Southampton. The Danish centre-back, who was incredibly tall, good in the air, 29 years old, and played a key part in the defence for Denmark in the Euro 2020 competition, is joining Leicester City for approximately 15 million euros. I think this one was a little bit of a dark horse, but in my opinion, I think they've got a really good player in Vestergaard. He might not be the quickest, but like I said, he is great in the air. He's a huge physical presence, and I think Leicester City, along with somebody like Kagler Sionchu that they already have, I think they've got a great center back pairing because Fofana was injured in a preseason game, so they had to sign somebody else, and I think Vestergaard fits their team wonderfully. Joe Willock is joining Newcastle after a stunning loan spell there last season from Arsenal. The young prodigy of a center midfielder from England is pacey, has a good work rate, scored quite a fair amount of goals for his position, center mid or center attacking mid, last season, and is joined for £20 million. On a side note, Lionel Messi did go to PSG in the transfer I referred to last episode. See, I had a feeling. I really did. Once he got that medical, I knew he was well on his way to PSG. But now it's confirmed that he's going to play along with the likes of Neymar and Mbappe, which, in my opinion, is just going to make this PSG attack lethal. I think they can challenge for the Champions League, absolutely walk the league on, and possibly do even more. Who knows what this team can accomplish, but I see some trophies coming. Now, moving on from transfers, we're going to talk about some rowdies. Welcome to the Rowdies Rundown. I had the wonderful experience of going to Al Lang Stadium not once, but twice this weekend. And the first game from those two that I want to talk about is the first team game in the USL Championship, where the Rowdies played Hartford Athletic. The Rowdies dominated 22 shots to 2, and one of those shots for Hartford came in the last minute when Jeff Caldwell, their keeper, came up for a header and hit his header down into the ground and over the goal, where Evan Lauro just kind of watched it float over, to be honest. However, I am not giving Jeff Caldwell any stick. I back the guy so much. Because speaking of Caldwell, he is so impressive. He played out of his skin, adding over 5 saves to his impressive tally of 60 this season. To talk about me a little bit, in real life, I am a goalkeeper. So whenever I see a good goalkeeper, I really appreciate it. And this guy has won my heart. So Jeff Caldwell, if you're listening, big love, man. But finally, after all of the saves Caldwell produced, in the 85th minute, Rowdy substitute forward Jordan Adebayo-Smith struck off a rebounded clearance on the second time of asking and found the back of the net after Lewis Hilton took a corner, got it deflected, and sprinted so quickly back onto it to play it to Adebayo-Smith. Al Lang Stadium erupted, and of course Ralph's mob immediately hit the pyro. The team celebrated, and the Rowdies, most importantly, claimed all 3 points, taking them back to first place. That's what you like to hear, isn't it? First place in the league. Rowdies midfielder Lewis Hilton won man of the match honors after creating an impressive 5 chances and shooting 5 times. Aaron Guillen, who has proven to be a defensive unit in the back, once so far this season, even a goal scorer, also made the USL Championship Team of the Week. My 4-2 Rowdies prediction last week was way off because we only won by 1-0. But since the Rowdies play Wednesday, as of the time I'm recording, I will predict once again. So let's see, I'm going to accumulate all of my thoughts, everything I've learned in my years of studying soccer, and I'm going to throw out, is it going to be 2-0, 3-0? I'm going to throw out 1-0, Rowdies 1-0 against Charleston Battery. I believe our away nerves may creep in, but ultimately I think we're going to get strong and get the job done on the road. Now you may be wondering what that second game was that I was able to watch at Al Lang, and that's the Rowdies Academy. A new section on the Rowdies Rundown is going to feature these mainly 17 to 18 year olds that show heart, pride, and strength, just like the championship team that's in first in the USL Championship. This particular game was against Southern rivals Miami FC Academy. Within 10 minutes of this action-packed game kicking off, Chandler Crawshaw's cross was headed over his own goalkeeper by Miami defender Aniel Jardinez. The goal did go down as his own goal. Then, in the 38th minute, Jaden Walsh, who had a stellar game at right wing, converted the penalty he won after the goalkeeper tripped him as he tried to go around him. He sent the keeper the wrong way in this penalty and made the score 2-0. Then, Walsh was yet again involved as he played the ball across the goal for Jeffrey White to tap in, only to have the goal disallowed for offside on Walsh. After halftime, Miami pulled a goal back, with Jesus Ayala's free kick sneaking through a crowd of Tampa defenders and the goalkeeper into the far right post from a tight angle. Then, in the 64th minute of the game, a Tampa defense mishap allowed Rodney Montflore to tap into an open net. Miami goalkeeper Manuel Murga produced a quality 1-vs-1 save in the 86th minute, thus allowing the teams to share the points. My man of the match, man, it's gotta go with Jaden Walsh. Big claps to you on the right wing. I think played the entire 90 minutes, just really was working over there. Big props to Jay Walsh. Next, we're going to involve a little bit of social media action here. As you know, I like to talk about my Instagram, not just because it's cool, but because you get to interact with me. This section is called Fan Asked Questions. On my Instagram page, I posted a place where you could ask a questionnaire type question for me. I didn't specify really anything. I just said soccer related for this one, so some are personal more, but for this one, just leaving up anything about soccer. They could have extra little caveats as it goes along, like ask me something about this transfer or this, that, and the other. But for this one, here are the questions. I'm not going to state names of the people that ask for privacy reasons, but if you hear your question, definitely send me a DM saying what you thought about the show. First one is, where do I find all my information? Okay, I admit it, I'm a geek. I'm a little bit of a soccer geek. I kind of study this stuff. I watch too many highlights probably than I should. I read a lot of news articles, and I also am just a sucker for going to games. So I get a lot of my, like, soccer news, so to say, from that. And I like to share it with the world. That's why I've come on to this podcast. Second one is, who's your favorite up-and-coming star? Now, last week, I said that Kylian Mbappe was the best young player in the world, and I'm sorry, but I take it back. It's kind of up in the air right now for who I choose, but recently, Mbappe's been one of them, but I think stars like Mason Greenwood, Marcus Rashford, even Gianluigi Donnarumma, who was, I think, the player of the tournament in the Euro 2020, obviously saved the decisive penalty kick in the final. I mean, he's incredible. But when one thinks of young player, they have to think of Erling Haaland. He's just too good. The guy's a machine. He finishes almost every chance that comes to him. And with good service, he's scoring 20, 30 plus goals a season, challenging Robert Lewandowski for the Golden Boot for sure. So I'm gonna go between any of those players I said. I really cannot choose. The worst injury I have ever witnessed. Well, there's a lot. On highlights, I've seen people twist their legs in all sorts of ways. This isn't, like, supposed to discourage anyone out there from going and getting that soccer career they want. Because, I mean, freak incidents could happen anywhere, so soccer is no exception. But injuries serious like that are quite rare. But probably the worst one I've seen in real life, I believe I have seen somebody break their leg, just snap the bone right then and there. I'd like to think that's not what happened, but I'm almost entirely sure. So again, not trying to drive anybody that's listening to this out of soccer, but I have witnessed some pretty bad injuries. Now, the highest paid soccer player in the world, I was asked. And this one, I actually didn't know off the top of my head, so I had to go take a look online. And it turns out that Lionel Messi, the Argentinian superstar that now plays, as I said, for PSG, is the highest paid soccer player in the world. Fifth, have I ever broken my ACL? No. And I really hope I don't, because some of my favorite players have. And I don't want to do that because they were out for about a year. So I really don't want to do that. Speaking of that, favorite soccer player, I'm a Joseph Martinez fanboy. Anybody out there that knows Joseph Martinez, feel free to hit me up in my DMs on Instagram at World Soccer Report. That's at World Soccer Report, all one word. Feel free to just hit me up in the DMs and talk about Joseph Martinez if there's anybody out there that loves him like I do, because I'd be happy to talk about him for hours. I hope that doesn't sound odd. Finally, the best player ever, the best player at the moment, and the best player in the future. I'd have to say the best player at the moment. The Messi and Ronaldo debate is kind of getting outdated. I think it's more now the Haaland versus Mbappe versus Foden versus Greenwood versus Saka. But I'm going to say right now the best player in the world is Robert Lewandowski. I know I surprised all of you with that. He is a goal machine. He just goes out and gets it. Broke Gerd Müller, who also passed away recently. Rest in peace, Gerd Müller. But he broke his record of 40 goals in a season, which is ridiculous. And for those reasons, I'd fully back Lewandowski as the best player in the moment. Best player in the future, I think, is going to be Erling Haaland, the way he develops. Because Kylian Mbappe, I can see peaking a bit early. Even though he's very good, I can still see him peaking. Erling Haaland just has something about him that doesn't make me think he's ever going to stop. So Erling Haaland, I think, will be the best player in the future. And the best player ever is Lionel Messi. I'm going to leave it at that. You can discuss the Messi versus Ronaldo versus Neymar, Lewandowski, whatever. I'm going Messi. And you can come at me for that, so be it. I'm going Messi. Next, let's talk about the cup action. On Wednesday, August 11th, the Super Cup was played, which is a game between the winners of the Champions League, Chelsea, and the winners of the Europa League, Villarreal. This ended with Chelsea beating Villarreal on penalties after normal time, with the 120 minutes handing each team a goal. Hakim Ziyech scored in the first half before Gerard Moreno struck back for the Spanish side in the 73rd. At 5-5 in the penalty shootout, after the extra 30 minutes and after 10 penalty kicks had been taken, veteran defender Raul Albiol's decisive penalty was saved by Chelsea goalkeeper Kepa Arrizabalaga. Good job, Chelsea, on adding some more silverware to your trophy cabinet. On Tuesday, August 17th, the German Super Cup was played. This game is between the DFB Pokal champions Dortmund, when they beat RB Leipzig, and the Bundesliga champions Bayern Munich, who won the league. Bayern took this trophy home, winning 3-1 in the normal 90-minute period. Polish goal-getter Robert Lewandowski scored right before halftime, followed by Thomas Müller adding his illustrious name to the score sheet. Then, Dortmund team captain Marco Reus scored a possible ticket back into the game. Unfortunately for the black and yellow of Dortmund, Lewandowski struck yet again to put the game to bed and give Bayern yet another trophy to add to their massive collection. Finally, I want to talk about the Premier League restarting. I am so happy to see those teams back out there playing again, and so many fixtures has blew my mind, but two I want to talk about. I hope I don't have a bias, but it was also one of the best games of the weekend. I am a Liverpool supporter in the Premier League, and again, not just because we won, but because it was one of the best games of the weekend. Liverpool won 3-0. Mohamed Salah broke a record by scoring in his fifth consecutive first game of the season, which is just crazy. The Egyptian superstar is at it yet again. I can tell it's going to be a great season. Roberto Firmino also scored after Salah picked him out with a fabulous ball. Then, in the beginning, Diogo Jota started all off after his shot was deflected, actually came deflected, off of Salah's attempted shot. Secondly, the best game that happened this weekend, in my opinion, was Manchester United versus Leeds. Started off with Bruno Fernandes, deflected shot off goalkeeper Ilion Meslier, and some people call him Penandes. I don't necessarily agree with it. Anybody knows that reference, you can again DM me all of your concerns, questions, anything, DM me on Instagram. Then, Luke Ayling scored one of the goals of the season to bring Leeds United back into it, before Bruno Fernandes ended up scoring two more goals to grab his hat trick, Mason Greenwood scored from a tight angle, and Fred finished after Pogba got four assists and created 9 chances in the game, which is ridiculously unheard of. Good job to Manchester United, honestly. Bruno Fernandes and Paul Pogba, you deserve respect. Be sure to follow my Instagram, at World Soccer Report. That's @WorldSoccerReport. All one word to get the latest updates on the show. I also post interactive games, in-depth and relevant soccer news articles, and more. It's all up to date and written all by me, Buster DeLay. Thank you for your support, and thank you, Radio St. Pete, for being my home base here on the show. This has been the World Soccer Report, and I'll see you at the games.